Heavenly Father, I just pray you'll bless this time, that it'll be a real blessing to the people, this message of yours. Amen. We've all celebrated the first coming of Jesus, and some of you might have celebrated too much, had too much to eat, I don't know. I hope not. They did say in the papers that if you have one mince pie, you had to walk 5 miles, I think it was, to walk it off. So how many mince pies have you had and how many miles have you walked? Not a lot. Oh, well, never mind. Lots of presents. I hope they're all good and useful. But most of all, in Christmas time, we showed love to each other. And as Christians, we received love from God. At that first coming, 2020 years in a couple of days' time, in Bethlehem, in Israel, not many people realized what was happening. That's true. Mary and Joseph, they knew they were going to have a baby boy. They were told by an angel, and they were told he was going to be Emmanuel, God with them. But they didn't really understand much more than that at the time. The shepherds, I think they knew a little bit more. The angel said, this is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and go and meet him. So the shepherds knew a little bit more. The Magi, they came, and they came to worship a king. But that's as far as they got. They thought just the king of Israel. Hannah and Simeon in the temple, they said, this is the salvation of God, when they saw the baby Jesus. Hallelujah. Herod, he understood. He understood that this baby that was coming was going to be the king of Israel and opposition. So he was going to stamp it out. So the first coming, not many people realized what was going on. But in the nation, there were praying people that heard God. People like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, these wonderful men of God, they knew that there was going to be a coming Messiah. But people didn't really understand much about him. They thought the coming Messiah was going to be another Moses or another David, a strong leader to lead them out into the promise of God. And especially at the time of the Romans, they wanted the Romans out of the land. They wanted a strong leader to kick out the Romans. So that was their expectation. Yes, one was coming, the prophets knew, and 700 years later, they nearly missed him. They nearly missed him. Jesus came. He didn't come in a palace. He didn't come as they expected. He came, and he came for a big, specific mission, and it was to save your soul. Hallelujah. Save your soul. Come inside you. Change you from the inside out. Make you born again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus came to save your soul. Came to make you born again. Came to also fill you with the Holy Spirit. Baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. I hope that's happened to you. It happened to me. It was absolutely spectacular. Anyway, so Jesus came. He definitely, historically came. And the Bible says that he came to redeem us on the cross. He rose from the dead. And where is he now? He's at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. He's at the right hand of the Father. And for us, what's he done for us? He saved our souls and he's given us the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be an active person in your life. He's going to comfort you and fill you and thrill you. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's left us with the Holy Spirit so that we can have a close walk with God and get on and live. Hallelujah. And not be down in the face. Amen. So, that's the end of the story, isn't it? It isn't. It's not the end of the story. He's coming back again. He came the first time. He's coming back again a second time. And a lot of people would say, maybe some here this morning, oh, that's a bit far-fetched. Pull the other one. I don't believe that. How can he come back again? Well, he promised he would. And I would like to read to you some of the promise. And it's in Luke 21. And I'm going to start at verse 5. Hallelujah. This is good. Very good. Luke 21, starting at verse 5. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they're about to take place? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. And then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, fearful events and great signs from heaven. And then he went on, he said, before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. And he goes on to talk about persecution. But then I'm going to go down to verse 20. And he continues, he prophesies, he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. And let those in the country not enter the city, for this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. And he goes on to say how dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. And he says there will be great distress in the land and wrath against his people. And then he says that they will fall by the sword and be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem, he reckoned, will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And then he went on, he said, there'll be signs in the sun, moon and stars. And on the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. And men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what's coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And then he says this, at that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, stand up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Hallelujah. Far-fetched? Oh no. This prophecy is so true. And a lot of it has come true already. And a lot of it, you can actually put a date to it. Hallelujah. So, or what was his prophecy? There was a bit of prophecy that wasn't in this bit. He prophesied he would send the Holy Spirit, which he did. He sent the Holy Spirit about a couple of months after his resurrection. And you can read all about that in Acts chapter 2, baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that baptism in the Holy Spirit is for us today. And if you haven't had it, that's a promise, you can have it. Hallelujah. Ask God for it. He also, in his prophecy, he prophesied that the temple, which, by the way, had been, if I remember correct, rebuilt by Herod. So it was a strong Roman-built temple. It wasn't a weak little structure with huge stones, not little tiny brick-like stones. And he prophesied that that temple would be actually demolished. No one stone left on another. Absolutely demolished. And the disciples were astonished. When will this be? Well, we got a date. General Titus came into the city. AD 70, he started to besiege it. And AD 71, the next year, he got into the city. And eventually, the whole place was burnt down. The temple was stripped absolutely, completely down to the bare ground. Just like Jesus prophesied would happen. And then in this prophecy, he prophesies something very strange. He prophesies that all the Jews will be all exiled to all nations. You can set a date to that. AD 135, the Romans stripped the whole of Israel out, all the Jews out of Israel, and they renamed it Philistia, from the Philistines, the enemies of the Jews. And we've known it up until recently as Palestine. So that happened. You can put a date on it. So this prophecy of Jesus is quite remarkable. He talks about revolutions. And we've had lots of revolutions worldwide, well, nationwide, worldwide ones. One of the outstanding ones was the French Revolution. And they had the guillotine to enforce it. And then recently in our days, it's been communism spreading through the whole of the world. And that was enforced by the gun. Revolutions. Remarkable revolutions. And then he prophesied something else that's come desperately true. He prophesied that nations, not little countries, but nations will be at war with each other. World War I, World War II involved, I think, the whole world. World War II, the shamans in Africa were asked by the missionaries why Africa was so quiet. And the shamans said, all the demons are in Europe fighting. But even Africa, North Africa, got dragged into World War II. So desperate times. And Jesus prophesied this prophecy. He also prophesied the return of the Jews to Israel in this prophecy, if you look in very carefully. And Israel became Israel again. You can set a date to it. 1948. He also prophesied that the city of Jerusalem would be trodden on by the Gentiles until a certain time. You can set a date on it, 1973, Yom Kippur War. Okay, so this second coming prophecy is coming true before our eyes. especially an old guy like myself, approaching 80, I've seen it all happening. Hallelujah. It's in my day. It's in some of your days. Some of you have actually seen some of these dates come true in this prophecy. The Bible says that at the end, there will be a war centered on Israel. And the Bible says, then he will come again. Hallelujah. And if you want precise details about that war, just look it up in Zechariah 14 and Revelation 19. He will come. He will come. He will definitely come again. His prophecy is coming true before our very eyes. Hallelujah. He is definitely coming again. That can be a thrill or it can be a disaster. Hallelujah. But he's coming again. He's coming again. When? I don't know. He didn't tell. He said I left it, the date to my father. And I don't know. But he did give us a parable. And the parable was five maidens. I'm not a maiden. But five maidens, and they had lamps. Five were wise, and five were foolish. And it looks like I'm foolish. My lamp's gone out. Oh, no. But that's not true. I'm still alive. I'm still a light for God. Okay. So the five said, our oil is running out. Okay. So anyway, forget that for a little bit. So why is he coming back again? First time he came as Savior. Hallelujah. Savior of our soul. Take our precious soul and put it up into eternal heaven. Isn't that good? That's great, isn't it? Praise God. So the second time he's coming as Savior? No. What's he going to come as? King of Kings. Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He's coming to claim the world for himself. He's coming to fulfill the declaration at the first Christmas to the shepherds. What was that declaration? Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. When he comes, he's going to come as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to provide us with a godly, heavenly peace on earth. Praise God. What an event. I want to be ready for his coming. I want to be ready for his coming. Unfortunately, my lamp has gone out. That wasn't meant to go out. I hope your lamp is still alight. I hope your flame is still burning. I hope you're alive to God. Hallelujah. So, where do I get oil for my lamp? What is the oil that Jesus talked about? I could ask you that question. You might have an answer. I hope you have. What is the oil that Jesus talked of? What sets us alight and on fire for God? Hallelujah. Come on, you know the answer. You might need to refresh. You might need to get your oil and pour a bit more in today. So what sets us on fire for God? For me, it's reading the Bible. I find that really sets me on fire. I find praying sets me on fire when I don't fall asleep. But I'm of this certain age where I can fall asleep when I'm praying. But I try not to, because I want my prayer life to be worth something. I want it to set me on fire. Hallelujah. Some get set on fire with worship. Worship music and song. That's good. Yeah, I used to when I was younger. I used to dance before the Lord when I was younger. Yeah. Some find serving and being a witness, serving God and being a witness for the Lord, sets them on fire. It does me, actually. It really does something for you when you are a witness and you do things for God. Some find a midweek meeting, a house group, is very useful. We had an alcoholic at our last church, and he said to me, John, he said, I find the midweek meeting is like a washing line, and it sags in the middle, and you get a prop, and you prop up the washing line in the middle, and that's what the midweek prayer meeting is. It's the prop in the middle of the week. So praise God for house groups and midweek meetings. Some find Sunday fellowship is a great help, and I would say yes. Don't forsake the fellowship of the saints meeting together. The devil loves you to be away on Sunday. He absolutely loves it. He rubs his hands with glee because you're getting weaker. And then you might say, well, I missed that Sunday, I'll miss another one. And you get weaker still. The Bible says, don't forsake the fellowship. It keeps you alight, keeps you on fire for him. I had an old friend, he's an old friend now, but when I knew him, he was young. We were all young. And used to meet him at Bonsall Holiday Camp. And he said, I went to that camp, the Christian camp, to get on fire with God. Hallelujah. He's coming again. He's coming again. He came the first time. People missed him the first time. He's coming again the second time. You're not going to miss him, are you? You're ready for him? You don't know when he's coming, but you're ready for him? Your lamp is alight. Shall we light that thing again? Make sure it's alight. So I think we ought to, don't you? And then we'll just pray after we've lit this thing again. What a letdown. We don't want to be a letdown, do we? We want to be on a fire for God. Shall we see if it can go burn brighter? That's better, isn't it? Look at that. Look at that burning bright. Oh, look at that. That's a real... Oh, yeah, man. That's good. Yes, we're ready for the Lord. Okay.